All right, if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We are finishing up our study on church, and Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to study economics, and I will talk a lot about that even tonight, kind of give an introduction to that. But then this next several months, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about money and show how our theology affects the way we spend our money and all that that entails. But we were asked this question as we studied the church, and that's what we're going to address this morning. This is a question: what about home churching or house churching? And for those of y'all that aren't very familiar with that, that is where several families meet in a home, or you meet with just your family on the Lord's Day to worship and study the Word of God and sing songs of praise to Him. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that biblical? For most people that have just gone to a traditional church, that's something that's kind of weird. To other people, they view the traditional church as almost evil, and meeting in homes is much more spiritual and more holy. But for us, we don't want to follow in either category. We want to follow what God's Word says. So we're going to look at this today, and I think the answers may surprise you, but I think we want to make sure that we are people who follow the teachings of Christ. So Acts 1, beginning in verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and there were the number of names together were about 120. We're going to skip down to chapter 2, verse 1, but I want you to notice there's 120 disciples. 120. And then Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All 120 disciples were in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Where did the early church begin? In a house. Now, this house, though, was large enough to fit 120 people in it. My in-laws are here for the weekend, and we got like 20 people in my house. It's a lot, okay? Most homes, it's great to have them, yes, woohoo. But it's most homes are not built to have 120 people in them. Most homes are not built to have 30 people in them. We're going to talk about some archaeology in just a little bit about Peter's home. But in this home, it was big enough to have 120 people to get there for a prayer meeting. But the church began in a house. All right, go to Acts 2, verse 46. Says this, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Several things to notice here. One, verse 47, the word church is not a building. The word church means a called out group of people, as we've looked at previously. So it's people. The church is people, is not a building. But notice that the people meet in houses, not one specific house, but they go from house to house, but they also meet in the temple. The church is where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. The church is the people. And in Acts, they did gather in homes, but they also gathered in public venues like the temple. Go down to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Okay, this would be part of the temple. The whole church would meet at a public place, which would be here, Solomon's porch in the temple. Down to verse 42. It says this. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Christ. Notice what happens. The early church does meet in homes, and they also meet in the temple. Go down to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. This is when Saul begins his persecution of the church. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. Notice he makes havoc of the church by going to the house. Why? Because the church is the people, and they met in houses. So he, it says there, it's hailing men and women, committed them to prison. The men and women were the church. That was the people of God. But where were the people of God meeting? They were meeting in homes. Okay, he didn't make havoc of a building. He made havoc of the people by going into their homes and arresting them. Acts chapter 12. Verse 12. Here is Peter. Peter has just been delivered by an angel from prison. It says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Where was the prayer meeting held? John Mark's mother's house. Okay, the early church gathered for prayer in someone's home. Acts 20. In verse 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says this: "How I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Where did the early church gather? In public places, like the temple, Solomon's porch, and they gathered in homes. Okay, house to house. And the Apostle Paul would preach and teach in public, and he would preach and teach in people's homes. Now go to Acts 21, verse 5. "And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way." Okay, this is Paul. He's leaving, and the church is following with him. "We departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." The church accompanies Paul on his journey. So the whole church comes with Paul and his companions, and they go out, and they have a prayer meeting on the beach. Okay? No building, but the early church gathers for prayer on the beach, at the shore. Now, go to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 5. Paul here is closing with his customary greetings at the end of the book. And he says, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." The church is not, they didn't build a little building with stained glass windows and a steeple inside their home. Okay? The church was the people, and the people met in a house. That was where they gathered to worship. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. "The churches of Asia salute you." Okay, again, churches would be the gatherings of believers scattered across Asia. This is not that buildings wrote letters and sent them to them. Okay, the groups of people. "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Where did the church gather? In their house. Now, we're going to talk a little bit here about Aquila and Priscilla. Notice it says, "Aquila and Priscilla salute you with the church that's in their house." Remember that and go to Colossians chapter 4. Because we're going to start making some conclusions on this. But we have to address the issue in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now, I know we're making quite a bit of mileage going through the New Testament here, but we will make a point out of all of this. "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house." Some translations read, "and Nympha, and the church which is in her house." Okay? But that's just a variation of translations. Okay. Now, one of the things we want to see here is that the early church met in many different places. They met in public buildings. They met in homes. They met out in nature. Okay? They would gather, and they would gather together from house to house, sometimes in one person's home, sometimes the next day in somebody else's home. sometimes in the temple, sometimes in the evening at somebody's house. They were always gathering in different places. And the church was not the location, the church was the people. Right? But one of the things we have to address, because people take all those verses that we looked at, and they will take and make a statement about how holy you are for meeting in homes as opposed to a church building, or how unholy you are for meeting in homes as opposed to a church building, and they take something out of the text that you can't get from it. But one of the things we have to address is 1 Corinthians 16:19 and Colossians 4:15. There are people who would say, and I heard someone say this, that Nympha, it's a woman, and the church meets in her house, so Nympha was the pastor of the house, of the church, and that makes it okay for women to be pastors. And Aquila and Priscilla had a church that met in their house, and so since it said Aquila and Priscilla, then both of them, they were co-pastors, and Priscilla was just as much a pastor of the church as was Aquila. Now, they forget in the New Testament, you won't find the words the pastor anywhere. You'll find elders. You find the office of pastors, plural, in Ephesians 4. But if you're trying to cram 120 people into one building, whose house do you go to? The biggest house. And just because you have the biggest house does not mean that all of a sudden you are the leadership of the church. So I want to make sure that's very clear. Also, too, Nymphos was probably a man, not a woman. Because you read in the Greek, it's a male. Okay? But we want to be very careful, because what people will do is they will take one or two verses and try to disrupt the whole teaching of Scripture. So when we talk about home churching, house churching, whatever you want to call it, we have to take into consideration the whole of Scripture. Yes, the early church met house to house. We should meet in houses. Okay, it's called hospitality. If you're not hospitable, you're disqualified from serving as an elder. Okay, you should be hospitable. You should open up your home to other believers. Open up your home for people to come and to pray. You should open up your home. And if you're not willing to open up your home to other believers, you really need to go read 1 John and go read James about your faith being dead. Because it's just empty words. Okay? We are to be people who meet in homes. And yes, where two or three are gathered together, yes, the Lord is there. You can have a prayer meeting in your home. You can have the Lord's Supper in your home without an elder present. It's okay. You can do that. You can have a baptism in your backyard. That's okay. The early church met in homes. That's acceptable. And there are very, very many good reasons we're going to talk about for churches together in homes. Right? We encourage that. We encourage people to be hospitable. We encourage people to open up their homes. We encourage people to host other people. We encourage that. I mean, my in-laws are with me. I love that. It's great. Luke stayed with us for a while. That was great. Right? We want to be people who open up our home, who pray with others, who fellowship with other believers. You know, many times if somebody's in our home, like sometimes when we do, my wife and I would do like premarital counseling. We'll have the couple come to our house for dinner. And then when we do our family worship, they join in. Because how on earth is that young man going to learn to lead worship with his new family that he's getting ready to start if he's never seen it? And so many times we'll have family worship with them there. That's okay. It's actually in the Bible. That's good. It is good to open up your home for gatherings of the saints. I know my in-laws church. Y'all still on Sunday nights meet the Tidwells, or Wednesday nights meet the Tidwells? Occasionally.
Sometimes during the summer we do.
Okay.
We haven't done it lately.
One of the elders in the church has a larger home, and so many times instead of meeting at the church building, they meet at his house. He has a home on the water, and so when they do the sunrise service, they meet at his home. They aren't at the church. Jesus isn't there. Okay. No, Jesus does not inhabit a building anymore. Okay, he doesn't inhabit a building. He inhabits his people. It is perfectly acceptable to meet in homes. However, the early church also met in no building at all. They also met in temples. They met on Solomon's porch. It is not a sin for a church to meet in a building. Well, I think it's just horrible for them to meet in some strip mall. Why? What's wrong with that? Well, but a church doesn't belong in a strip mall. I mean, come on, like, they're right next to a Starbucks. And? It has to have stained glass windows for Jesus to be there. No. It doesn't matter. We get too caught up, and it doesn't make you holy if you meet in homes. As we're going to see, many people who meet in homes do it because of an unholy disposition, not a holy disposition. Just the same way some people who meet in church buildings like this don't do it for the right reasons. We have to get rid of superstition. Okay, we have to follow what the Word of God says. Now, turn to Philemon. Philemon 1:1, just one page over. Talk about that real quick. A couple pages over. Bible. Wrong order here. Philemon 1:1. One more verse about meeting in homes. It says this: Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dearly beloved fellow laborer, and to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Now, Philemon is written to a man named Philemon, who about a runaway slave named Onesimus. It was written at the same time as a letter to Laodicea, which we do not have, and the letter to the church at Colossae. It is very probable that Philemon hosted the church at Colossae in his home, and that the letter to the Colossians was written to the church that met in Philemon's home. Again, showing the early church met in homes. Okay, they also met elsewhere. With that in mind, to understand this issue, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is something that we've got to really have ingrained in our minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye, okay, that is singular, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Where does the presence of God now reside? In the believer in Jesus Christ. He does not reside in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. He resides within the heart of everyone who is born again. There are those who have a superstition. Okay? You can't lie in church. You know what? It is absolutely impossible to lie in church, because the church is the people, not a building. And I don't know how you lie in people unless you somehow get inside their brains and start telling lies. Okay, it's impossible. Okay? Oh, Ben, you better watch out. You're standing in the building. No. What the Apostle Paul is dealing with here is sexual immorality. Because we can become very superstitious. I wouldn't lie to you in the temple, but you are now the temple. So if you lie anywhere, it's the same thing. You know, we worry about, the high priest going in there. If he's got sin, God might strike him dead in the Holy of Holies. Yeah, look at Ananias and Sapphira. God struck them dead because they were now the temple of God and they defiled it. You are the temple of God. God no longer resides in what we would call a sacred location. God resides within a sacred place, which is in your soul. And it is sacred because he dwells there, because you bear the image of God. So when we talk about this, we have to be very careful, because there are people who are very, very superstitious about this. And I'll be honest with you, I love the old architecture. You know, when you walk in, you're awe-inspired. I don't know if you've ever been in a church that has amazing acoustics. In high school, I was with in a singing competition, and we got to sing in a chapel that you could literally stand at the front and whisper, and someone in the very back of the room could hear you clearly. Amazing acoustics. And sometimes you go and you have, you know, the vaulted ceilings and you have the stonework. It's beautiful. It's awe-inspiring. But that doesn't mean that God's presence is there. He's just as much on the beach with two believers as he is in that building. God no longer resides where there's a steeple. God never resided where there was a steeple. In fact, many places with steeples are synagogues of Satan. You look at Revelation. Many places with stained glass windows are anathema in the eyes of God. We have to be very careful, because we can become superstitious. The church is where two or three believers are gathered together in the name of Christ. And that can be out in the open field. You go read about George Whitefield and John Wesley. The church closed the doors to them. Okay? More properly, the synagogue of Satan, unregenerate people, said, you can't use our building. But you know where then the church gathered? Outside, in cemeteries, on hillsides. By the way, where did Jesus give his famous sermon? The sermon in the cathedral, right? It's a sermon on the mount. You don't even have to meet in a hole. Where two or three are gathered together. That could be in a hospital. That could be in Antarctica. That could be in the International Space Station. Okay? It doesn't matter. And we have to be very careful because we think of buildings as this place of holiness. Now, that doesn't mean that we teach our children to be disrespectful and, you know, do things within the church. But I'm not saying that. But we teach our children to be respectful in other people's homes, too. Okay? But we have to be very careful because some people get this idea that God is in the church building. Well, God is just as much as in the church building as, according to David, he is in hell. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So we can't have that superstition. We need to realize that where the people of God are, that is where Jesus Christ is. Now, go down to Hebrews chapter 10. This is, to me, one of the biggest issues with house churching. It's Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at several verses here, and then we'll draw some conclusions here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What are we supposed to do here? We are supposed to be encouraging other believers to follow the teachings of Christ, to do good, to love God, to love neighbor. We're supposed to be provoking them, to stirring up. The idea of provoking is the idea of poking the coals in the fire to stir up the sparks. Okay, sometimes throughout the week, I'm talking about this next Sunday morning, Lord willing, but sometimes we get tired, we get lethargic, our spiritual graces begin to wither, and other believers need to come along and say, hey, keep up the good fight, keep going, don't give up, you know, don't grow weary in well-doing, in due season you'll reap. We need that. And so in verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. He says that means we need to be with other believers. Now, some people say, oh, this means church attendance every Sunday. Actually, this probably means being with the people of God every day. Because remember, they met every day house to house. This means making phone calls, texts, emails, reaching out to other believers, being around them. This means having people in your home on Tuesday night. But we don't have church on Tuesday night. It's talking about being around the people of God, assembling together. This does refer to the Lord's Day gathering of the saints. But it refers to the rest of the week as well. Okay? This is referring to being with other Christian believers so that your soul is fed and your soul is kept on fire and so that the fire doesn't go out. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There were, at this time, some believers who were separating themselves from other believers. It doesn't say why, but they were separating themselves from other believers. They did not want to be around other believers. We don't know why. But we can find some clues in Luke chapter 9, and then we'll go to 3 John. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him, because he follows not with us. And Jesus said to him, Forbid him not. He that is not against us is for us. You know what? We just told them, we can't be around y'all. Y'all are Methodists. You stinking Presbyterians. You don't want nothing to do with y'all. We do that, don't we? But we go even further than that. Okay? If you look at the way people separate, look, I cannot even emphasize enough how Protestant I am. Okay, I am Protestant. I hold to, and you can disagree with me on this, I really hold to what the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith says, and that is the Pope is the Antichrist. I firmly believe that. Okay? maybe not the Antichrist, but I believe he is an Antichrist. If you don't like it, I can show you from Scripture why I believe that. Okay? That being said, there was one thing that the Catholic Church was right about with the Protestant Reformation. They said, if you split, you will never stop. And they never stopped. And all of a sudden, we went from major, true, splitting wolves from sheep to now we're down to where we're splitting sheep from sheep over very minor issues. Very, very minor issues. And I think I told y'all before of the church up in between Gainesville and Cleveland, Georgia, that split over a chicken leg. Newberry Church number one and Newberry Church number two. They're right across the street from the church. And that is the names of the churches. It's Newberry Church 1 and Newberry Church 2. And they're literally right across the street from each other. They split over a chicken leg. Okay? That is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what he spoke against here. We need to be very careful, because one of the reasons people go to home churching is because they can't get along with anybody else. Go to 3 John. Notice 3 John. We skip over these little books. There's a lot of wisdom in there. 3 John in verse 9 and 10. Third John, verse 9 and verse 10. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Diotrephes was so holy and righteous in his own eyes, he wouldn't even accept the Apostle John. He was so arrogant and so craving people's praise that he even rejected the Apostle John. Read verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. He is there tearing apart the Apostle John and the other apostles too. And says this, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren. In other words, he wouldn't even open his home to other believers in Christ. And forbids them that would. Speaks against people even opening up their homes to give the apostles lodging on their missionary journeys and cast them out of the church. And if you so much as open up your home to a fellow believer that is not on his good list, Diotrephes will throw you out of his church. There is a massive Diotrephes spirit in many churches and in many homes. And that is this. If you do not dot every I think should be dotted and cross every T that I think should be crossed, we have nothing to do with you. And that is appalling. Every single one of us in here that's any type of believer in Christ has done home churching at some point or another. You woke up Sunday and your whole family's sick. What do you do? Well, you have a Bible study in your house and you don't get other people sick. Okay? You're on vacation. You're out in the middle of nowhere. You're out in the mountains. It's the Lord's Day. What do? Well, you gather your family together, sing God's praises. That's what you do. You are at a church situation. You got hurt massively. You know, the rug got yanked out from underneath your feet. You take a couple weeks, months, try to get yourself back together. Okay, you've been in church situations where, you know, something happened to one of your kids. There was lies told. There was false things happened. Yes. Okay. There's a time when you say, wait a minute, I gotta get myself together. Okay, I gotta figure out what's going on. And there may be a time when you do house church. There are churches that start, like the early church in homes. Think of the Muds. We're supporting them starting church in Boston. And guess where they meet? Well, they met in his living room. But you know what? Very few people have a home big enough to hold 120 people. So guess what? They're not meeting in his living room anymore. Why? Do you have a living room big enough for 40 people? Very few people do. Okay? So what happened? The churches start in homes. But eventually, you got to find a public gathering place, like maybe the Jewish temple, maybe the beach, because you want to be with the people of God. So there's nothing wrong with meeting in homes. In fact, there's nothing wrong with, say, because of persecution. Many people look at the Chinese church and say, well, the Chinese house church, look how big the Church of Jesus Christ in China has become. Look how many people have been saved. They haven't been saved because they met in homes. They've met in homes because of persecution. They were saved because the believers were evangelistic They were saved because the church was kept pure through persecution. They were saved because of the prayers of the people. They were not saved because they met in homes and God looked down and said, oh my goodness, you are so holy because you don't have buildings to meet in. I'm going to save thousands of people because of that. We cannot equate the growth of the church in China with them meeting in homes. Okay? Is it a good thing to meet in homes? Yes. Yes, you should be hospitable. You should open up your home. But you are not more holy if you say, well, we are, you know, and I know people this way. We're not like other people. We don't meet in buildings. You do meet in a building. Okay? It's just structured different. It's different architecture. But you still meet in a building. I don't care if it's a barn. You can meet in a barn. And one of the things that the church in America needs to realize is there probably will come a day when we will be meeting in homes because we will be like China under persecution. And one of the things we need to remember is that we don't have the diocrity spirit. Listen, right now, some of y'all drive past a dozen churches on the way here. And some of them aren't really churches. Some of them are synagogues of Satan. Some of them are horrible. But some of them have believers in Jesus Christ in them. And we have to be very careful that we don't look and go, oh, they're Assembly of God. They're against us. No. There are many, many godly people in many different denominations that love Jesus. And we have to be very careful because many people house church out of arrogance. They think they're the only ones that have figured it out. And they are not willing to even sit down. I've seen house churches that go this way. People went from one church to another 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 church. No one was holy enough for them. No one knew the Bible well enough for them. So they got the four perfect holy families and the four perfect holy families met together. And then guess what happened? One of the four perfect holy families became sinful. And by sinful, we don't mean like adultery or murder. We mean like they crossed a line that's not even written in Scripture. So we can no longer meet with that one unholy family now. And so now we have just our three holy families that meet. And then one of those, they associated with the unholy family that we no longer associate with. And so, because they're associating with people that we don't associate with, we don't, and it's down to two holy families. And I know people that have gotten down where the only people they will ever fellowship with is their own families. Because no one else loves Jesus. Everyone else is corrupt. And I would stop and say, maybe the problem isn't other people. Maybe the problem is you have a diocrity spirit. Listen, there will come a time when persecution comes to this country, in which case you're not going to look and say, oh, I'm sorry, your wife and children are starving out in the cold. I'm sorry, you're Presbyterian. Click. There'll come a time when you won't care anymore. Why? Because if they are a born-again believer in Christ, that's what matters. Okay? And there's going to come a time when, you know what, we may not even be able to meet in homes. We may have to meet in some farmer's field way out in the middle of nowhere if we want to be with believers where we can talk freely, sing loudly, and not be persecuted. But the main thing is that we worship Jesus Christ and we love the brethren. Okay? Remember that the two greatest commandments are not love God and meet in homes. It's love God and love your neighbor. Okay? It's also not love God and have steeples when you're going. Love God and love your neighbor. We are to be the people of God, wherever we may be. We are together for fellowship. We are together for encouragement. Yes, there are times when you have to distance yourself from people. I'm not saying there's not. There are going to be wolves. There is going to be heresy. There are going to be people who will affect the physical well-being of your children. There are going to be churches that house child molesters. I can tell you churches that I will not take my kids to because of that. Right? And that's fine. However, we have to be very careful that we don't become like Diotrephes, where we have our long list of things that aren't found in the Bible that make people really holy. And if you don't meet every single one of them, then we won't even speak to you. Any questions or comments on this? I don't think there's a problem that anybody here really struggles with. I want to make sure that everybody understands where we are on this. Okay. I will say one also massive benefit, I'm just going to throw this out there, of meeting at homes. As many times it is a better stewardship of money. The American church has wasted, and I literally mean wasted and squandered, trillions of dollars on buildings and property. We really have. We have lived in extravagance and luxury while people around the world starve to death. And to me, that's appalling. I'm not against ornate architecture, stained glass windows, anything like that. I'm not against that. However, I think if we're building stained glass windows while people starve to death in our neighborhood, we're in sin. Complete sin. So. Any comments, questions? All right. Oh, drink.
What's the guy's name that you keep mentioning with the TH?
Diotrephes.
Oh, D.
Diotrephes, 3 John 1. Yes. All right. Any other comments, questions? All right. Well, Keith, can you close in prayer?
Sure.